For grisly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Gulf Mill Ford, Illinois' largest Ford dealer. Beats every deal by at least $500. Visit GulfMillFord.com. And this transition is brought to you by Aloha Restoration, restoring your home to pre-disaster condition.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
That was not a great transition. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Monday.
Yes, no question about it. Thanks to our executive producer. We call him Dustin Rhodes mainly because it's his name.
Wow. He broke windows.
And of course, Kevin Zipak is our guy too.
I guess. Okay. Yeah.
It was a very tentative approval, but big fan of Kevbo. And Ray, and I'm overcome by emotion every morning trying to thank you for your contribution.
All of this is okay to me.
Yeah. And now is the time where we get a chance to talk to Dan Bernstein. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
Gentlemen, good. Real good. Had a very interesting day of NFL game consumption yesterday that was entertaining and different in that I was in the car most of the day, just, you know, all just everywhere, and it was in my wife's car. She has satellite radio, which I don't in my car, and it was on, and her car is so complicated that I don't know how to switch it to like AM or FM. It's all like touchscreen virtual cockpit stuff, and unless one of my kids is there, I can't do it. So I'm just sort of captive to whatever's already on when I turn the car on. And I was able to get it to the NFL whip around during the games. It's called like Sunday Drive or something like that. And it's a couple of guys, and they don't have to go to reporters because they actually have the play-by-play of every team. And it's the equivalent of like a red zone situation, but the window into our football world, in that you're hearing the local call every time, and hearing and unfortunately it's homogenized in a way that it hasn't been in the past. But I was laughing. So all it is, it's your professional big voice play by play guy talking like this, and then it's the former player bitching about referees, no matter what. I don't know what game they're seeing. I don't understand how they call this anymore. It's like, let's go to the Pittsburgh call. Let's go to the Carolina call. Let's take you to the... It was the same thing every time. That can't be a flag. What are they doing out there? I was just loving it.
The referees are garbage.
Yes.
There you go.
And not only
my
that.
My favorite. Do you remember when Butkus was doing
yes.
color?
With Hub.
And all of a sudden, like in the background, but it was I think it was Wayne doing the, you know, professional voice, and in the background you would hear like some kind of like, you know, red ball, like some weird
grunting
football term that
yes.
you hadn't heard.
Well, the other
it's
thing
a red
too,
dog
is that without fail, every broadcast, the analyst would scream out something ahead of the actual play-by-play call. Everywhere, no matter whose call it was, it's the Atlanta call, it's the Detroit call, it's the Carolina call, you hear the analyst go, he's got him, touchdown! And it's before the play-by-play is like, Stafford winds up, looks to the back of the end zone and throws, and the analyst has already yelled touchdown. And it's run rampant. It's a scourge upon broadcasting that must be ended. But it was just the number of similarities and the speech patterns of the former players. And, you know, I was a little disappointed when they said, let's go to the New Orleans Saints call. And I was so used to hearing Hoki Gajon, the late Hoki Gajon, or at least assuming that whoever the analyst was for the Saints will sound a little bit like this.
Bobby Hebert.
Right, Bobby Hebert or Hoki Gajon, because they're going to try to go back to the end zone and find out there's zone coverage over back there. But it wasn't. And it's all of these wonderful regionalisms and regional accents are eroding, sadly.
Any game did you like more than the others?
I loved hearing Dave McGinnis on the Titans call. He was really good. Like that sounded sort
of. He sounds like a football coach. He definitely sounds.
He does.
He speaks footballish.
Dan Terry, you guys have been around the game a long time. You know football.
Yeah.
And it just hearing some of that discussion and some of the stadiums with live fans for now actually sounded, you know, you get a little bit more of the atmosphere. There's a little bit more energy in some of the calls, and that was really noticeable. But the good game, the description of what went on with the Falcons and Todd Gurley trying to not score a touchdown and failing to not score, and then they're like adding it up in their head with the clock, like, well, wait, what? And I think they let him score. It's like, well, he tried to not score. It was really weird.
Yeah, that was funny. As far as Mac's concerned, he's the guy that gave Big Cat Williams the Big Cat moniker.
Yes, because he said, that's a big cat, which indeed
no,
is.
I asked him one time, where exactly does that come from? And he looked at me and he said, Michael, that comes from being from Texas.
My cat is elusive.
And he was a defensive lineman, too. And eventually they realized they figured they'd make a Pro Bowl tackle out of the guy.
Big Cat was on the score the other day. I think he talked to Lawrence. Is that Friday?
He's good. I loved working with him when we did arena football games together. I learned a lot from him about line play and about what to watch for, give him, you know, what gives him indications as to where a play is going and why based on certain alignments. And I just tried to soak up a lot of what he knew about football.
I know you don't predict, Dan, because you don't like to put your predictions out there, but what do you expect tonight?
I expect more of the same. I think this is who the Bears are. I expect more of the same. I expect if the defense is remarkable, you win 19-17. And if it's not, you lose. Because I don't look what Jalen Ramsey has done to Allen Robinson, you know, there's no reason to think he's not gonna do it again. Because he's a really good player. And when you take away Allen Robinson,
one drama.
You handicap the offense. So I don't expect them to be something they're not, despite everything they've said about intending to be something they haven't yet been.
Explosives. There were explosives in that World War One drama.
That's supposed to be a great movie, too.
Molly, you great predicted movie. A futuristic drama, 2116.
Yes.
So, but we're burying the lead. Who saw Borat?
Oh, I haven't seen the...
Did not.
I saw the Twitter response about Rudy Giuliani, which was one of the funniest lines in a very long time. He's going to reach into his legal briefs and
pull out his penis. Yes. I thought Borat was 3 stars out of 4, good but not great.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah, good but not great. I actually thought the teaser. There's so many things in the teaser trailer, that first 2 minute, that aren't in the movie at all. That those were all cutting room floor things that they decided to repurpose. But it was it was good. It's hard to do that character and not and be in disguise, you know, when you're 6'5" and doing everything he's trying to do. But I enjoyed it.
Is that on special? Amazon? Is that or Netflix?
Amazon Prime, I believe.
I don't know how. Prime, all I know is I
you don't know. It was on your wife's satellite radio.
I know. I go to my son and I say, put it on the thing. Make the TV do thing.
Yeah. Did you watch it from the back seat of your wife's car? She's got the
right
player.
How do you even manage to connect to this show every day if you're so inept with technology? How are you on Twitch right now? What is going on with you?
It isn't so much that the car is, even she thinks the car is confusing. You, there's no like AM FM thing.
How old is it?
It's
a 2116.
No, it's this year's, and it's just it's designed and especially like while you're driving, you have to be able to have some analog something, because you can't actually focus your attention on screens while you're actually trying to drive. So it's nearly impossible to do it yourself while on the move.
Dan, did you say you gave it 3 stars, Borat? Yeah. 3 stars.
Yeah.
Michael Phillips gives it 2. So
He's much more discerning than Dan.
He knows a lot more about movies than I do. And boy, I can only imagine what, if you've been following Michael Phillips and his wife, Heidi Stevens, and her battle with COVID hospitalization, they were just all thoughts go to them and everything.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah, hope for the best for Heidi. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really, really nice and a fantastic writer. And meanwhile, Teddy Greenstein's leaving the Trib.
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Your voice,
not surprised.
Your voice went up.
No, I'm not surprised. I'll miss his work.
You went through puberty as that happened.
you talk about, I mean, somebody who wore a lot of hats there. It's going to be tough to replace.
He's going to Points Bet USA.
Wow.
Speaking of which, what's the line right now for the Bears game?
Six. And the over-under is 40. We just checked Bet Rivers, 45?
45.5 or 45?
I will have to go check. Hold on a second. Hold on. Everyone calm down. For the love of God, I didn't know there's going to be a quiz.
Six.
Dan, the Bears are already underdogs next week against the Saints, and they haven't even taken a nap tonight.
That I get. If Michael Thomas is healthy, that
but he's not going to be playing. He's a big question mark.
Yeah, there's more than health involved.
Sounds that way.
Yeah, the Bears feed off of it. I guess they like it. If they think that they're going to play the oldest trick in the book of the whole no respect card. If it helps them win, that's fine. I'm dubious of all of their multi-level claims of how the offense is going to improve, because I went through everything, and all they're saying is we're going to get better because we're going to get better. Not they can't point to anything. They're not pointing to this guy should do this and this guy should do that and this they're capable of this.
Explosives and time with receivers. It's the quarterback and the receivers getting on the same page. They did come up with potential reasons they could improve.
Well, they were believable.
When you have a streaky player, you talk that way. Because you expect him to hit a hot streak, and Nick Foles is a streaky quarterback. So if he gets on a roll, then everything that they say is going to happen. And they just have to, until it happens, keep saying it.
I guess so. I've always found it very interesting that Nick Foles was brought in because whatever you want to do, knows the system. Worked with DeFilippo, worked with Lazor, worked with Nagy. Familiarity, familiarity, familiarity. And then as it's taken him, as he hasn't been all that good yet, now they're saying, this stuff takes time.
But that conversation is an ongoing one. But I think that we need to understand some things about what you just said. And it's not wrong, but when they brought Nick Foles in because you could substitute any quarterback in there, whether it's Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater. They brought in a quarterback replacement because the guy they drafted wasn't good enough. All right. So that's where everything started. Whatever Nick Foles is or isn't, how he fits or doesn't, everything started because Mitch couldn't play. All right. They gave him a chance to prove them wrong or to prove otherwise, but he couldn't do it.
I think that's without question. But when you say, when you explain why he couldn't do it and what this offense needs and why you go out and spend a fourth-round pick and many millions of dollars on Nick Foles and you give us the veteran familiarity, maybe he's not the best athlete or maybe he's been a little streaky, but he's the guy who knows what we're doing. You can't then fall back on explaining away inconsistency by talking about how long it takes to get familiar with everybody else and what's going on. Like, this is, if it's supposed to be your plug and play, high floor, lower ceiling game manager, let's see that. Because he's made a bunch of dumb throws too.
Yeah, I'm not going to defend what's happened with the offense. I don't know that it's that defensible. Hasn't been very good. But that's what they're saying, if you really listened during the week, was, because they had the club dub, everyone was exhausted. So when they got on the plane, they were rocking and rolling, but they were also having great conversations. And that carried over to film study, where people apparently yelling out all sorts of ideas and everybody scribbling them down. And now they're on the cusp of a breakthrough.
But doesn't that interfere with the calibration process? I mean, I don't know if you can one calibrate while rocking and or rolling?
Depends on the music.
Yeah, they were rolling and rocking. I thought we
and calibrating.
and calibrate. They'd already calibrated.
Keep on calibrating in the free world.
Yeah, this is.
Hey, Dan, not calibration is gonna.
What?
Not to change the subject, but the game four finish for the World Series. I mean, how great was that? And how hard was that to watch in your wife's car?
Well, that one I actually got. That I got to see. That one I actually was able to watch. But when you watch the replays of it, and I actually thought that Fox did a tremendous job with yep. the television there, and just the number of cutaways that showed you what was going on. Because you're thinking, if the catcher knows that a Rosarena fell down, he's not trying to make that quick sweep, because his internal clock is thinking, he's coming, he's bearing down on me, he's about here, I've got to get this ball over here and across my body and to the plate super fast, when in fact, had he known that he was lying on his stomach halfway down the line, that he could have gone to a knee, blocked it off his chest protector, picked it up and tagged him out easily. I mean, it's just the number of things going on there is just fascinating, and to see it on this stage, and we're going to talk to Cody Decker about this too at 9:40 today, but the sort of joie de vivre with which everybody's playing, they're getting after it in a season like this that's been marked by all sorts of uncertainty and questions and everything being in between. They're getting after it. It's a really fun World Series. It's a high-energy World Series that maybe you wouldn't have expected this year.
It's been great. It's been terrific drama. Did you think that if Kenley Jansen had backed up the catcher on that play, would that have made a difference?
I don't know, because the ball hit the ump's leg, right? I mean, when it came in, it kicked away at a weird angle where if he's in the right place to back him up, he still would have to go over and get it, and I still don't think they had time. And that usually, that's a notoriously finicky transfer of pitcher in that direction to plate with guy coming in. I mean, more often than not, in your mind's eye, you see that ball squirting away somewhere rather than it being executed cleanly or a good tag being put on with all the cameras watching.
What have you then?
Well, Bears. Big game tonight. It's another chance to carve away so many people who are thinking askance about this team. And it is another opportunity to sway undecideds, at least in this atmosphere where there are still some, perhaps. So we will discuss what's at stake tonight. We will talk about the World Series with Cody Decker, who, by the way, is going to be hosting full show with Danny Parkins on Wednesday. So that's can't-miss radio for you right there. Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports will break down everything that's going on in the NFL at 10. We've got sound from Matt Nagy on our sister station. We're going to do the Midday Midway today because it's not a typical Bears Monday. And then we'll go behind the scenes of the Bears opponent with Jordan Rodrigue, who covers the Rams for The Athletic in L.A. She's going to join us at 11, and all kinds of surprises.
Have a great one.
Thanks, boys.
Thank you very much.
Danny Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Matt Nagy will throw in a different personnel group on first down and then a different one on second down and a different one on third down, and he's got Jimmy Graham like running on the field, off the field, on the field, off the field. That's not what Sean McVay does. It's not any great mystery who you're going to have to deal with when you deal with the Rams. Who are my 11 best players? I put them out there. I dare you to stop it.
Listen to Danny Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Radio.com. Sports Station.
This is Boomer Esiason with the Radio.com Sports Minute, sponsored by GEICO. GEICO is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit GEICO.com for more info. Tonight, Week 7 draws to a conclusion as the Bears visit the Rams in the impressive but spectator-free new SoFi Stadium. Chicago is 5-0 in the NFC, and its defense has been getting better each week. Since supplanting Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles has been erratic. However, even though he has been erratic, he actually has stabilized the Bears' offense. And as the MVP of Super Bowl 52 put it, he'd rather win ugly than lose pretty. And I totally agree with that sentiment. The Rams are 4-2, but a sweep of the NFC East makes that record look misleading. The Rams got hammered by the 49ers last Sunday, and Jared Goff has a history of struggling against the Bears. And I do expect him to struggle again tonight. So I do like Chicago, let's say by a score of 23-20. I'm Boomer Esiason.
This segment is brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Find Chicagoland's lowest appliance prices plus up to $200 in extra savings on top brands like GE, LG, KitchenAid, and more exclusively at Grand Appliance. Shop one of their 10 Chicagoland locations or grandappliance.com today. Grand Appliance, trusted since 1930.
We all want to be a part of something bigger. We want to experience what it feels like to go beyond the expected and discover something truly exceptional. To tap into the energy of a movement that moves society forward. Valparaiso University is the place for those who strive for a better world. At Valpo, you'll grow in every aspect of your life, personal, professional, and spiritual. Think of the world you want to live in. Then come to Valpo and build it. Learn more at valpo.edu.
At GEHA, we believe that possible is in everyone. But what does your possible look like? Does it look like a long walk with your best friend? Or trying a new recipe? Or maybe it's game night with the whole family? Whatever your possible looks like, GEHA provides a wide variety of benefit plans designed for federal employees and their families. Because everyone deserves to choose possible. GEHA.
Halloween, Friendsgiving, the holidays, the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect gift to help you host a gathering. The DrinkWorks Home Bar is a countertop home bar that makes over 30 cocktails, brews, ciders, and more, all at the push of a button. From mojitos to mules to margaritas, all you need to do is put the pod in and let the machine do the work. Go to DrinkWorks.com to order your home bar and see all the available drinks. That's DrinkWorks.com. Cheers. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. Use under license. DrinkWorks. Please enjoy responsibly.
Winter is just days away, and this could be one for the record books. Shred through one blizzard after another with a powerful new Toro Power Max two-stage snowblower. It's compact, easy to use, and it's a beast on snow. And right now, get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max. We'll make sure to get you through that first snowstorm with confidence. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro snowblower, America's number one brand in snow. Toro, count on it.
Hey, it's Dan Burstein here, and I hate to say it, but temperatures are dropping, and the leaves are turning, and they are falling, and I just realized I need to rake them. And most importantly, pumpkin spice is at coffee shops all over. Summer's over, and the season of ghosts and goblins has arrived. Don't be freaked by the monsters hiding behind your walls. Mold and water damage can be terrifying because it's bad for you. But the expert team at Aloha Restoration can help. I know from experience when I had water damage in my house, these guys are good at what they do. When the ghosts in your basement start causing you trouble, who are you going to call? Aloha Restoration. Learn more at AlohaRestores.com.
Folks, when shopping for a home mortgage, how much is great service, low closing costs, and competitive interest rates worth to you? At Townstone Financial, it's priceless. Hi, Barry Sterner, founder of Townstone Financial. Let's hear about the Townstone experience from one of our customers.
Hi, my name's Lisa, and I just completed a cash-out refinance bank statement loan with Townstone Financial. I called Townstone Financial because I had a lot of equity in my house, but I also had a lot of credit card debt, and I wanted to take the equity out of my house to pay off my credit card debt, and nobody could help me with that because I'm self-employed. But Barry at Townstone had a program for me. Now I'm comfortable. I've paid off my debt and I'm happy.
Remember, nobody values your home mortgage business more than Townstone. I guarantee it and I own the company. So call me now, Barry Sterner at 312-896-2110. That's 312-896-2110 or go to townstone.com. That's TOWNSTONE.com.
Townstone Financial is licensed in Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida. NMLS 136639. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Equal housing lender.
Dress up your Halloween celebration this year with frightfully festive fruit bouquets and platters to ghoulish goodie bundles. From edible arrangements, our treats are spooky, yet sweet additions to this Halloween season. Choose from a variety of fresh baked cookies, gourmet popcorn, strawberries dipped in gourmet semi-sweet chocolate, and pineapple decorated to look just like zombie eyes, mummies, bats, cats, and ghosts. Our spooky sweet treats start at just $9.99. Order today for curbside pickup or delivery at your local edible store or at edible.com.
It's time to start kicking up your recipes a notch with the finest chicken in town. That's because your local Jewel Osco has just rolled out their exclusive O Organics chicken. These all-natural selections are vegetarian-fed and humanely raised on the free range. What's more, O Organics chicken enhances just about any meal, whether you're whipping up a healthy stir-fry or creating a truly great Vesuvio. See why O Organics chicken is the perfect pick for a meal that clicks. It's all fresh to your family from Jewel Osco.
1-877 Cars for Kids.
Get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Valparaiso University is where all the wide-ranging things that define you come together. Valparaiso University puts your future into motion with focus and guidance in and out of the classroom. Because at Valpo, your full potential receives total commitment. It's in the mentorship of your faculty, the opportunities that stretch your strengths, and the community that wants you to be your best you. Learn more at valpo.edu.
At GEHA, we believe that possible isn't everyone. But what does your possible look like? Does it look like a long walk with your best friend? Or trying a new recipe? Or maybe it's game night with the whole family? Whatever your possible looks like, GEHA provides a wide variety of benefit plans designed for federal employees and their families. Because everyone deserves to choose possible. GEHA.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional piss.
You don't know what the hell you're doing!
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And it is a pre-Bears Monday. Bears and Rams tonight. It's a big game. We get to, there are a few things more fun as a sports fan than a full day of anticipating a big national game for your football team. I've enjoyed it ever since I was a little kid. Knowing the Bears are going to be on at night when they're good is really fun. So we'll have some fun feeling like that today, because it's okay every once in a while before your team is exposed as a fraud. I'm not saying the Bears are a fraud. I'm just saying hypothetically that could be the case. Cody Decker will talk about the World Series, and we'll talk baseball and life with him, the radio.com baseball expert. He's going to join us at 9:40. Then it's National Football Talk and Bears Preview with Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports at 10. We're going to get some Bears sound turnaround. Matt Nagy was just talking on our sister station, so we're going to hear what he had to say at some point along in the show as well. And I think we'll do the midday midway today because we can. I wasn't in on Friday. We don't usually do it on Fridays anyway, but we've got some good stuff we're going to have some fun with today in the midday midway. And then we will talk to Jordan Rodrigue, who covers the Rams in L.A. for The Athletic at 11, and we'll have surprises along the way as well, if that's okay with you. 312-644-6767 is the phone number at WSCR The Score. And if you want to email us, that's easy. Just email Bernstein at 670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live, because we stream at 670thescore.com. You can send a text to the text zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And when you text 312-644-6767, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Follow along on Twitter. The show's Twitter handle is at Bernstein670. My personal feed, with a lot more than just sports, is at Dan_Bernstein. Also, make sure that you've downloaded the radio.com app, because that's your best way to stream The Score on your mobile devices. And you can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. And then there is the phenomenon that is Twitch. Hi, Twitchers, Twitchies, whatever you may be. The Twitch feed is twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And then you can see me. You can see our guests. We hope that Cody Decker has his dog with him today. His adorable but apparently flatulent dog. Unless he's blaming the dog, which is a veteran move. But if it's inaudible, you don't really need to do that, because that doesn't come through on Twitch yet. And Brian Gertz directs the Twitch feed, and he also moderates the chat, which is a very odd and interesting place, a very silly place. But feel free to come join at twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Jay Zawoski's our executive producer, and Ray Diaz, the executioner. He's the man on the board doing what he does. So here we are. The Bears keep winning in how they're doing it, and we keep wondering, well, the game's over, and they have more points than the opponent, so technically that constitutes a victory. And yet, we watch how they get there, and we're still not sure. And that's okay.
I'm pretty excited right now. We're 5-1.
And they'll keep reminding us of that. And then they'll tell us they're going to get better because they're going to get better. Even though they can't run the ball, they're not really that good at throwing the ball far. They can throw it sideways. They're like the best sideways team. If you measured sideways yards and like tried to make that count, they'd probably be pretty good. So they're really good at going sideways. It doesn't matter, but they're good at it. And we'll see, because Aaron Donald is a great, great player who's capable of destroying all of your best laid plans and destroying all the blockers in front of him. But the Bears have had a plan against him before. And it's this question of, do you run at his speed or away from his strength? That was the Brian Billick rule. He always said, run at speed, run away from strength. But when he is both fast and strong and seemingly capable of defeating double teams regularly, it's hard to tell what to do. This is really your test of Nick Foles, because the defense is crafty. Where the Rams defense is going to, there's a lot of disguise. And Mitchell Trubisky's been largely awful against them for that reason. He doesn't know what he's seeing most times against a defense that isn't that good at disguising things. But what I expect tonight is that Nick Foles will use a lot of motion, a lot of formation and a lot of motion to try to see what they're doing and make his decisions accordingly. And I trust Foles much more as a chess player to at least know where not to go with the ball. And that sounds so defeatist, but it's a big deal against this defense. And yet here we are again. There isn't going to be, and I'm resigned to this now, regardless of what happens tonight, unless something that's just a complete outlier occurs. The Bears may be talking around this, trying to tell us this. There isn't going to be some Beauty and the Beast transformation. There isn't going to be some lifting of the spell just as the final rose petal falls to the bottom of the thing. I don't know. I may be mixing this up. It's been years since I've seen Beauty and the Beast. But it isn't going to be, this is what it was supposed to be. This is what they promised. This is what's on the magical play sheet. All of a sudden, everything has come together. That's off the table for me. And I think I'm sort of with what Mully said weeks back of just win the next game until you run out of games.
Would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? I think that we'd rather win ugly.
You're not capable of doing anything pretty. Like, let's see pretty before we think it's an option to lose pretty. There is no pretty. It ain't pretty when the pretty leaves you with no place to go. I'm quoting in excess. I don't know what's wrong with me. I might be Christmas drunk. But that is, there's no way. I would like to see evidence of the possibility of some kind of pretty before we start feeling that we have the luxury to choose how you win or how you try to win. It's not going to be a magical transformation. This is who the Bears are. This is their identity. It's not a great identity. And you have to hope that they knock a ball out or they pick something off or Cordarrelle Patterson gets a chunk of 40 yards here, 60 yards there to put them in a little different kind of position. And you hope that the kicker stays good instead of bad, because apparently it's just kicker and he decided. No, speaking of which, do I have this right? Cody Parkey's miss of an extra point cost everybody the number. That was either the total or there was something in that Bears fans who had bet something on Cleveland or had bet some aspect of that game were undone by a Cody Parkey extra point miss. That's why you just don't risk money on football games unless you find that immensely entertaining and you have the disposable income to do it, in which case more power to you. But maybe the Bears kicker is not a headwind at this point. We keep saying measuring stick here. Even if they were to win and go to 6-1, it still depends how it looks, right? It still depends that on how good you think the Rams are, because their wins are only against the NFC East, which is absolutely horse manure. So I'm not sure what you think you'd be achieving. I know these wins are great, and they'll club dub it up, and they'll be excited, and the Bears will be 6-1 and headed for the playoffs. But we still ask ourselves, do you think that they can win the Super Bowl as currently constituted? And I found myself over and over saying the four words, I hope I'm wrong. And I would love for them, for Nagy eventually to finally say, see, I knew it. I knew that once we got the combination of all the details and all these moving parts just right, like tumblers in a lock, that magically the door would swing open. Like in Die Hard, when they kill the power because you wanted miracles, I'll bring you the FBI. And all of a sudden that they break through and it opens, and there are all of their negotiable bearer bonds for them to take. But I just don't see it. It's in some ways comical. In some ways it's farcical to have all of this energy expended on all of these details. And it's always 17 points, or it's 22 points. And everything about the offense and the quarterback and the blocking, we're right there. We're so close. We're so close to the 200 level. And yet, I don't think it's coming. And if they can win, cool. And I'll be there. I'll be there screaming my head off at the television and throwing things and screaming at the referees because they throw flags on Kyle Fuller for being too awesome. And there's the illegal block in the back on a kickoff return, which I'll still never understand. And we'll have pre-snap penalties and out of timeouts and delay of games because that's what we signed up for. Bears games are Bears games are Bears games are Bears games. And tonight is going to be another Bears game that they might win. And then we'll see. I don't know. Maybe it's going to come down to the matchups against the Packers to give us some indication of where we are. But all I know is I'm looking at it this way. The 5-1 first place Bears are on national TV tonight against an opponent where there have been entertaining matchups in the past, and there's star players on the field. So what the hell? This is just sort of a grab the popcorn kind of night, and then I'll figure out if there's any conclusions to draw. But the transformation for me, the magical, the coming together of an offense, the congealing, however you think this whole offense, all of a sudden, every little switch and everything comes together, and then it's just this rampaging offensive monster. That's off the table for me. I don't see it. I've been hit over the head enough times to know that this is the way the Bears offense is probably going to be. Some good, some bad, some hurry up, some slow down, sometimes stepping on their own balls, and that's just going to happen. So I would gird your loins for a Bears game to Bears game tonight, and the Bears actually might win, and then we'll hear them talk about how good they are, or it's not up to us to decide how good they are, and we shouldn't care how good they are. But the reason we care is because we want them to win the Super Bowl. And because if it's an all-time great defense, don't waste it. Throw it away with a mediocre offense, and despite everything you've tried, it would just be a crime. Let's talk some baseball next with former major leaguer Cody Decker, who's always a delight. He's been enjoying this World Series. I've been enjoying the World Series. It's been fun to watch. We'll talk to him about it next on The Score.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. Chicago guys talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Golf Mill Ford, Illinois' largest Ford dealer. Beats every deal by at least $500. GolfMillFord.com.
And the previous segment was brought to you by Amazon.
Want to bet? The new sports books at Hollywood Casino Aurora and Hollywood Casino Joliet are your front row ticket to all the action on all the games, with up-to-the-minute real-time odds and the best bets around. And with our state-of-the-art betting kiosks, placing a bet has never been easier. So grab your crew and hurry into the new sports books at Hollywood Casino Aurora and Joliet, the best places to place your bets in the Chicagoland area. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The season is in full swing, and the action is still unfolding, so head over to DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. With so many storylines across both professional and collegiate sports, this is the time to check out all DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook has to offer. If you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now. You don't want to miss this. To celebrate the showdown in Happy Valley, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when placing a bet on either Ohio State or Penn State. Additionally, DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to receive a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. On top of those great sign-up offers, DraftKings offers great odds boosts every Sunday to help you make it rain. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. So download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Chicago when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick either Penn State or Ohio State, bet $1 on them, and cash $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use the promo code Chicago during sign-up. For a limited time, only at DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Illinois only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537.
At Great Clips, we want you to feel good about getting a great haircut. That's why we created the Great Care Promise, our commitment to keeping everyone as safe as possible in the salon. From contactless online check-in and social distancing to rigorous sanitization and mask requirements at all Great Clips locations, we're doing more to keep our salons clean and comfortable. Check in online and get a ready next text when you're next. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
Lakeshore Recycling Systems is passionate about providing exceptional service to their customers. With over a dozen facilities throughout the Midwest, LRS is one of the largest independent waste companies in the country and a proven industry leader. They'll deliver the equipment to fit the needs for your business or home with the highest level of customer satisfaction. LRS is proud to be an award-winning team. Partner with Lakeshore Recycling Systems today and request a quote online at LRSRecycles.com. Lakeshore Recycling Systems, Chicago's go-to waste solutions provider. For grisly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro.
We all want to be a part of something bigger. We want to experience what it feels like to go beyond the expected and discover something truly exceptional. To tap into the energy of a movement that moves society forward, Valparaiso University is the place for those who strive for a better world. At Valpo, you'll grow in every aspect of your life, personal, professional, and spiritual. Think of the world you want to live in. Then come to Valpo and build it. Learn more at valpo.edu.
At GEHA, we believe that possible is in everyone. But what does your possible look like? Does it look like a long walk with your best friend? Or trying a new recipe? Or maybe it's game night with the whole family? Whatever your possible looks like, GEHA provides a wide variety of benefit plans designed for federal employees and their families. Because everyone deserves to choose possible. GEHA.
Cody Decker joins us to talk baseball in 60 seconds on the score.
Dress up your Halloween celebration this year with frightfully festive fruit bouquets and platters to ghoulish goodie bundles. From edible arrangements, our treats are spooky yet sweet additions to this Halloween season. Choose from a variety of fresh baked cookies, gourmet popcorn, strawberries dipped in gourmet semi-sweet chocolate, and pineapple decorated to look just like zombie eyes, mummies, bats, cats, and ghosts. Our spooky sweet treats start at just $9.99. Order today for curbside pickup or delivery at your local edible store or at edible.com.
If you're looking to be the proverbial winner-winner with chicken dinner, then look to your local Jewel Osco. They've just rolled out their exclusive O Organics all-natural chicken, which means you get a bird that's been humanely raised on a wide-open free range. Needless to say, O Organics chicken tastes great and it won't break the bank. So whether you're concocting your world-famous chicken parmesan or creating a savory stir-fry, see why new O Organics chicken is a must-try. It's all fresh to your family from Jewel Osco.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Jansen. That is into center field. Here comes Kiermaier. Phillips has tied the game. Allows Arena coming around. Throw high and now he stumbles. But the ball gets away. Tampa Bay wins it. Brett Phillips, game four hero.
Tying run at the plate. Trinan. Got him and the Dodgers win game five.
Wow, this has been a thing. Those highlights, courtesy of Fox, and no matter what this season is or has been, it's been kind of a kick-ass World Series, if we're really being truthful about it, that these teams are going at it. Here to talk about that and more is Cody Decker of Radio.com Sports. The former big leaguer is on Twitter, at Decker6. And he is on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You can get a look at him if you like. If you go to twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, where is your flatulent dog?
Well, I'm over in El Paso, Texas right now, and I left him over in Los Angeles. So I am away from my flatulent dog, who desperately just wants to just pass a ton of wind directly in my face every time I come on your show.
Well, we can hire somebody to do it in lieu of the dog if that's something that you need just to feel like you're comfortable.
I mean, Dan, don't threaten me with a good time.
So your guy Jock Peterson with a big hit last night. I know your friends, you guys played together, and that's cool to see.
Awesome to see. You know, especially, you know, there's not a whole lot of Jewish baseball players out there. So to see Jock in there, not only playing in the World Series, but being successful in the World Series, how can you not root for the guy?
I actually saw this article in, it's called TableMag.com, and it says, if, in fact, Jock Peterson, I don't know if he has yet, but if Jock Peterson faces Ryan Sheriff of the Rays, it would be the first matchup of a Jewish batter and a Jewish pitcher in the history of the World Series. And the Sheriff is actually the grandson of Holocaust survivors. And they went back and looked at all this. Like in 1915, there was Erskine Mayer was a pitcher who appeared, and then but he didn't face a Jewish batter, nor did Sandy Koufax in 57 World Series innings. So this would be a remarkable first, except there was one exception. In 1974, Ken Holtzman, the former Cub, was on the A's, pitched to Steve Yeager, but it was before Steve Yeager converted.
Ah, see, so it doesn't count. That doesn't count. He that was devout Christian Steve Yeager he pitched to.
Yes,
very,
it was.
Very different. But, I mean, listen, when we played for Team Israel in the World Baseball Classic, let's face facts here, I didn't know we had enough Jewish players in the game to field a team, let alone even a half-court basketball. So I was pretty excited to know that this is actually a possibility.
Isn't it cool how into this everybody is? That maybe it's a function of some of the stress and strain of the season. The teams that are this good that got here, they're playing the hell out of it, and they're selling the game a little bit. Like when Arozarena breaks for home, I'm like, oh my God, straight steal of home. I don't care if you're safe or out. That's just fun.
Oh, it was so exciting. It was actually Margot that got caught at home.
Oh, excuse me, Margot.
Got thrown out. No, correct. Sorry. Arozarena got thrown out at second base in another close play that was checked out. So it's easy to make that mistake. But Margot stealing home, I mean, how exciting was that? But only that. I mean, how much did the Rays run themselves out of innings yesterday? The Dodgers, in my opinion, should have already won this World Series, but we ended up getting a Game 4 that might have been the best World Series game I've ever watched in my lifetime. And the final 10 seconds, a comedy of errors, but how I was screaming in my living room loving it.
Yeah, I'm staring at Arozarena in my notes, which is really top of mind because he's all over everything I'm thinking about here. He's got the record number of hits in a postseason so far. And we've had any number of outlier, crazy postseason guys. But it seems like when somebody is mattering this much and actually watching each of his at-bats, this is something more than just statistical outlier, is it not?
This is more than a coming out party. I even put it to Twitter asking, hey, does anybody remember a coming out party as amazing as this? Because the guy is off the charts right now. For instance, Corey Seager right now is the clear-cut favorite to win the MVP. But is he? Because no one's talking about Corey Seager because Arozarena has been that unbelievable to watch. And he really has been. He's been impossible to get out. He's been, it's not just, it's also the theatrics that he's brought to the game. Everybody's bringing the theatrics in this World Series. And I think there's a decent amount of disappointment that we didn't get a Dodgers-Astros rematch throughout the country. But, I mean, the fact that we are getting arguably the best World Series I've seen in a decade is everything I could have asked for. The Rays, not enough people are aware of how amazing the Rays are, and I'm loving that people are getting a chance to see it.
Yeah, they're so competent. And I guess that is a testament to managing. It's so hard to say when and where does a manager matter. And with the exception of some of the base running stuff last night, especially defensively, with the way they position themselves as consistently as they do, for the most part, it's clear to see that when a team's got a payroll of whatever, $33 million, that it takes somebody in full command tactically and strategically in the way that Kevin Cash is. Guy knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does. And, it's a game that they're very good at. The only time I'm getting frustrated in the World Series is watching the Dodgers try to outraise the Rays. In the next game, you got game six, you got Tony Gonsolin starting on the mound. Well, Tony Gonsolin's had a great year on the mound for the Dodgers, but in the playoffs, he's been a little shaky. They've been doing this opener setup for him. They've had May start for him, or they've had him open. Throw it all out. Let the guy pitch, because the guy has shown that he's a very competent and good and electric starter. But, you put new roles in for him, and in the World Series, it's a bit tricky to get, your normal rhythm and feel going.
What does the Dodgers bullpen look like to you right now, looking at some of the usage patterns and knowing Kenley Jansen's, current high usage and his history, the decision to go to Trinan, and what his role has meant? If you were managing this team, how do you handle it right now?
I would probably not put Jansen in a closed situation. I'd possibly put him in a setup situation and basically go closer by committee. There's really – everyone has no set role right now if you're watching these games. Everyone's – it's all hands on deck. I understand Jansen not going in yesterday. He pitched three games in a row. It was really his day anyways. I definitely would expect to see Gratterall throwing at least one inning, probably hoping to get four outs. And I think they really are hoping Gonsolin can go into the fifth. I think that would really help the Dodgers, but he's had the quickest trigger on a lot of their pitchers, specifically Gonsolin and May.
There was some talk last night. It was just the latest case of, I think it was on the triple, of a camera on a tag, whether or not it showed someone who was clearly safe, maybe kind of sliding off the bag a little bit while the glove was still in contact. Is there any way to get this right in the right way? And I want them to get calls right, and I want it to be just and fair. But something like that to me seems, I guess, for lack of a better term, invasive. When everybody watching knows what's probably going on, that idea of a slight separation from a bag, even as far as, like, someone's going to get hurt trying to stay on the bag or breaking a finger or contorting himself to try to do this, it's almost, at the speeds at which the game is played right now, it's almost unfair to ask somebody to keep contact in that way.
I agree with you on that. I felt like they made the right call by not overturning that call. And the rule actually states that, it needs overwhelming evidence. You need to be able to see the fact that he was out or safe to overturn the call. And on the replay, there was no evidence that clearly showed it. It would take three camera angles and like a perfect timing for you to say, okay, put it all together. Okay. Yeah, the defendant is guilty. But unfortunately, there's no one camera angle to show it. So I agreed with the call. I don't think that's a call that should be made or changed. I agree with you. I think you're going to get a lot of injuries if you were to force that rule upon people.
Something that's been going on in this entire season that we can't see happen, but I would love to hear about it maybe after the fact, is without video in game, without the ability to say, I got to go look at that swing, I got to go see how I did, or remind me I saw this pitcher who's coming in, I want to go look at my last couple of at-bats, without that ability, players are really in old-fashioned ways relying on each other, relying on coaches, and relying on what that hitter maybe coming back to the dugout is saying about a guy's stuff. What would you want to know? Because some guys are, high-information hitters. Some guys are lower-information hitters, depending on their comfort level. But it's the World Series. And these are critical, critical outs, and you got the bat in your hand and going up there maybe in a high-leverage situation. What is the most important thing you want to know about a guy?
Velocity. First question I'll ask, what is he throwing? Is the board correct? Is the guy throwing 93 like the board says, or is it coming, seeming a little more sneaky? It could be. The guy might have a short stride. What's his movement like? Is he throwing his cutter a little bit? It's just, I'll ask short questions to keep it as simple as I possibly can. I don't want to overstimulate my mind going to the batter's box. Every single guy you've seen throw this playoffs throws 100. Everybody. So you got to be ready basically for speed. If you think that I'm going to go up there hitting a slider, he's got you beat on speed every single time. You can't make that adjustment. So I got to be up there ready to hit the fastball, and hopefully he makes a mistake breaking ball that he leaves up. That tough slider low and away, no one's meant to hit that pitch, and no one's going to hit that pitch. So I have to just know what he's got with his fastball, where is he liking to throw it, and, you know, watch the game. The game itself will tell you everything you need to know.
Before we let you go, I guess in my notes here, I was geeking out on the rule that says when Kershaw had the wherewithal to step off the rubber before throwing home in the attempt to get the runner stealing home. And I'm thinking about this, like, wait a second. If it's motion toward the plate, they can't distinguish between a quote-unquote pitch and an attempt to cut down a runner. And I'm thinking, why does he have to break contact with the rubber if he's coming home anyway?
He doesn't need to, but if he was pitching out of the stretch at the time, the fact that he stepped off and had that wherewithal to get rid of that baseball the way he did and not commit a balk, by the way, that was the most impressive part of that play. And like you said, no one's really talking about it. He could have just simply slide-stepped and thrown home as a pitch, but you're playing with a little bit of fire. He might have gotten rid of the ball a little slower. Him getting off and getting rid of the ball was the way to go. And the fact that he did it cleanly and got the out, that was a game changer. That fourth inning changed the dynamic of that entire game. You walked the first two hitters, you had first and third, nobody out, and then you ended up knocking out the side, and it finished with an attempted steal at home plate. I mean, this World Series has everything.
I guess that's why I was thinking, too, is like, even had he kept his foot on there, you can't legislate how he throws it. Like you say, pitchers are in a routine, and he's got the muscle memory of a slide step or that kind of thing with how he's going to lean back. But I'm thinking, did he have to do that? And obviously, he's completely taking it out of the realm of possibility of a balk call of somebody saying, "Oh, wait, that didn't look right." But I guess once you're coming home, they can't say you have to throw it a certain way. As long as once you start, your momentum keeps you going forward to the plate.
As long as you're not doing anything to deceive the hitter coming to the plate, then you're fine. But honestly, him pitching would have taken more time and he would have been safe.
Right.
Everything he made on that play was correct. And it was a great play, and it was bang, bang. If he didn't step off the mound exactly the way he did, Margot's safe. It's a different ball game.
Yeah, there was the other thing in game four at the end. When you talk about these little things that either you know or you don't know in real time, the fact that a catcher is trying to hurry his reception to sweep a tag, not knowing the guy fell down. He's lying on his stomach in the middle of the baseline, and had someone communicated to him, just get in front of the ball, you can go to a knee, it can bounce off your chest, and you can walk over there and tag him. The fact that he didn't know changed everything and decided the game.
It probably really, really would have helped if they had a closer that decided to back up home plate and maybe could have relayed this information to the catcher. But, you know, he was pouting up the line.
I guess I hadn't thought about that as a backup, that it's not whether or not he might have made the play on the ball that got away. That's interesting because we talked about that just a little while ago. Having him there to tell the catcher, just stop it, just block it, that's a different aspect than whether or not he could have picked it up and gotten it to him.
In a game like that, it's the World Series, and even though there's only 25% capacity, you probably still can't hear a thing on that field. Having someone right behind you, being able to give you some sort of communication, is pretty key. Now, would it have made a difference? Maybe not, but we'll never know.
Hmm. And good point here from a texter who says, stepping off the rubber by Kershaw prevents the hitter from being allowed to swing. So had he not, Had he not, that can all be messed up or covered with a swing. All fascinating baseball stuff. I love geeking out on this stuff. So here's to a little bit more entertaining baseball as long as we have it. Cody Decker, this was always a lot of fun. Really look forward to Wednesday when you're going to be sitting in with Danny Parkins for the whole afternoon show. That's going to be fun.
Going to be an absolute blast, and I don't know about you, but I'm actually really hoping for a Game 7. And I think we have everything in the making for a Game 7. You got Snell versus Gonsolin. Snell's been a little bit shaky. He hasn't been able to go into past the sixth inning in over a year, so you know it's going to be a bullpen game on both sides, and each bullpen game has gone the Rays' way.
And in all seriousness, the fact that you're in El Paso, I'm looking at some terrifying health data that's coming out of there with hospitalization rates, and just be very, very careful. Good health to you.
I will. Thank you so much.
That is Cody Decker, the former major leaguer who is now an expert at radio.com sports. Next up, football talk. Eric Edholm comes your way on the Score.
Bears fans, keep it on the Score throughout the day as all of our shows and team of Bears experts get you ready for tonight's big Bears-Rams primetime showdown on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Hey, it's Jay Zawoski. I've got to tell you about my new favorite NFL bet this season. I've